We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I have moved our afternoon study to the morning again this week. It was not the plan. It became the plan. We're going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, the plan was to preach 1 through 4, preach on that. And perhaps that would have been better, I don't know, than what I'm going to do. Since that is the context of what I want to preach on, which is this from verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I believe this afternoon we will handle all the rest of it and speak on it. You see the context. You see it speaks of the great privilege that the Lord's people have today under the new covenant and with all the full light and power of the gospel doctrines revealed and given to us here in the New Testament and all the other benefits and blessings and advantages we have. And there's a warning that we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And just slip away then. And I have to tell you what this text actually is addressing specifically. Are those who are in the church, but not of the church. Those who are unbelievers among the Lord's people. Specifically, that's who he is addressing. Now, there is, as we look at this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is an application then to the false convert, of course. But there certainly is an application to those who don't profess Christ. And that's the first application to those who are among the Lord's people, but they're not of the Lord's people. The apostle of Christ speaking for his master and by the Holy Spirit puts this question to all who are yet in their sins, who have not taken heed to the call and command, repent ye and believe the gospel. All who have not availed themselves of the gracious offer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a promise. But as the context makes clear, and we'll deal with that context this afternoon more in depth and much more in depth, the apostle speaks especially to those who have heard the gospel and in truth even to those who have been among the Lord's people and heard the full light of gospel doctrine preached and taught. And yet, they neglect. They neglect. That is, they're careless of, they have no regard for so great salvation which is offered them in the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, this is a very great sin. And it is a very great offense to God who offers to all sinners so great salvation. I say it's a very great sin and a very great offense to and against God. Now, since the gospel was first revealed to Adam and Eve, many billions of their fallen children have lived, died, and passed into the just and everlasting torments of hell without ever hearing the gospel. But they were all alike justly condemned, since they were all alike, just every one of them, all alike and having turned away even from what God made known of himself in them by his creation, I say witnessing in them of the creation he made, showing them certain things that Romans 1 speaks of, not that they could be saved by it, but Nevertheless, they turned away even from that. And their conscience also bore a witness to them, convicting them of the sin they nevertheless committed still, and witnessing of the good that they nevertheless did not fully and faithfully embrace and do. And you have all been taught that in depth from the scriptures. For instance, Romans chapter 1 and 2. And it was the same with all of us who are now in Christ by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and even more so. Because then we heard the gospel. So I say we were justly condemned, and even more so than those who never heard the gospel. All are justly condemned, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, but we were in even greater sin until we believed. Before we believed and were justified and born again, we were justly condemned by our own sin, not just because in Adam we were corrupted and condemned, but by our own sin. And all who hear this message but are not in Christ Jesus are condemned by their own sins. And likewise, they have those two witnesses against them, their conscience and the creation as well. But those who have heard the gospel, even been among the Lord's people and heard the gospel and all the glorious gospel doctrines explained, expounded, and preached, who nevertheless have neglected so great salvation, which is proclaimed in the gospel, these are of all men, women, young people, most without excuse. These who have been so privileged more than so many billions of mankind, and yet they've neglected so great salvation. That is, they've treated the salvation revealed by the gospel lightly. They've shown such little regard for this salvation which God offers them, rather than press forward determined to lay hold on Christ and drink of the waters of life. Especially when you think of those brought up in a good church, a faithful church, and in Christian families. There are those here that never were brought up that way. They hadn't heard the gospel explained, expounded, and preached, but the day came when they did. And by the grace of God, they did not neglect the salvation offered them. And so it's remarkable when one witnesses individuals doing that. Now, I want to say this as plainly as I can. All those not in Christ are yet in their sins, and they are condemned by their sins, all unrighteousness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, spiritual and eternal, body and soul. All are condemned by each and every sin they have committed, all their sins uncountable except by God. But those among the Lord's people who neglect so great salvation upon hearing the gospel and even hearing it preached so many times in all its fullness, all the glorious doctrines of the gospel preached and taught, commit a very great offense against God and their own souls in that neglecting. But I do not say today, you who are yet not saved, you who are yet in your sins, I do not say you're committing sin in not being saved right now. I hope you understand what I mean. Salvation is of the Lord. You'll not hear anyone here say and urge on you to say the so-called sinner's prayer, or as some put it, just settle this right now and make a profession of faith. Then you're trusting in your own profession, not Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. You are not saved. The sin is neglecting that salvation, neglecting the diligently seeking to be saved. Your great and heinous offense is neglecting salvation and not diligently seeking Christ to save you. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. To neglect so great salvation is to commit and live in so great sin. Yes, there is great sin being openly committed all around us by worldlings. That's true. But to be among the Lord's people and neglect so great salvation freely offered by God is so great sin, unspeakably great sin. It is a heinous sin against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. You, as is the case with all the fallen children of Adam, have no merit. You have nothing that deserves this salvation you're offered, which is received only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, in Him as Savior, and in His suffering of soul and body, His pouring out of His precious blood unto death. In truth, you and I and all of us merit, richly deserve, have abundantly earned eternal punishment and everlasting wrath. And that is just what those sinners who reject Christ will come to. Everlasting punishment in hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, suffering the wrath of God poured out in them and on them for all eternity, because they never can propitiate it. They never can make a satisfaction for their sins. They never can make a just atonement for their sins, a full recompense for their sins. I'm not so sure those who neglect the so great salvation of God in Christ realize how holy and righteous God is. I'm not sure you realize the holy hatred God cannot help but have and does have against all unrighteousness. I'm not sure you understand how sin, unrighteousness, stirs His holy wrath, which cannot be appeased by anything except justice, perfect justice. That is the eternal punishment of the sinner, since he cannot make a just and equitable, a full recompense for his sin. But God, out of His so great mercy and so great love and so great free grace to sinners just like you, and just as you've heard so many times from His Word, has sent a Savior, so great a Savior, His own Son, the only one who could save sinners, the Son of God, who humbled Himself so greatly as to take to His deity the true body and reasonable soul of a man and be made of a woman, made under the law, to toil through over 30 years of painful, humiliating life under His own law, and being mocked and persecuted by His own creatures, so that He might provide a perfect righteousness, that perfect righteousness the law demands, which no sinner has. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then Christ Jesus allowed wicked men to abuse Him, mock Him, spit on Him, scourge Him, strip Him, and nail Him to a cross, where the sins of those for whom He suffered were accounted as His, and the wrath of God against those for whom He suffered was poured out full strength into His soul, so that He, by His suffering of soul and body, and even the shedding of His precious atoning, cleansing blood unto death, He, by the infinite worth of His suffering and death, the suffering and death of the one both God and man, He propitiated the wrath of God, made a full satisfaction to the law for those sins and sinners for whom He suffered, and put the capstone on the righteousness He wrought out for them. And this justifying righteousness is legally accounted to the sinner who believes on Christ, and by His blood applied, they're forgiven and made free of their sins and condemnation and joined to Christ, born again and adopted by God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. 2 Corinthians 5, the verse 21. And these words from Christ Himself: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And this is all of grace, free grace, the grace of God, so great grace. Romans 5, the verse 17, For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So great sin, so great condemnation, so great wrath, but so great love, so great mercy, so great grace, so great a Savior, so great suffering, so great redemption, so great salvation. Whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed. free from spiritual darkness and condemnation, free from bondage to sin and Satan, free from eternal wrath and the torments of hell. The body even free at the resurrection from the last enemy, death. Whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed, free too in this world, from perhaps plunging into the very depths of destruction, sorrow, misery, depravity, and who knows what. Many, many, many have neglected so great salvation. Oh, they had all sorts of plans of what they would do with their life. And they plunged into such destruction they never, ever thought they would. And they became such a slave to depravity, and they came to such shame and such ruin, and then hell for all eternity. Whom the Son makes free shall be free indeed. Christ freeman, now and forever. And not only so, but a child of God with title to all the graces and blessings and inheritance of a beloved child of the eternal God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Liberty offered to the one in bondage. Liberty offered to the one under condemnation. Liberty offered to the one shut up in spiritual darkness, awaiting the execution of the righteous sentence of God, which will be proclaimed by Christ himself. Whom those who neglect so great a salvation have rejected. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the apostle warns, he warns those who neglect so great salvation offered by God in the gospel. He says, how shall we escape? Escape the just condemnation of God, escape the damnation of hell, escape the eternal suffering of body and soul, of mind and spirit, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How shall we escape? Escape the eternal fiery wrath of God if we neglect so great salvation. It is a fearful thing. Fall as a condemned sinner into the hands of the living God upon death. For our God is a consuming fire. So it is for you to ask yourself, those not in Christ, those who have neglected the so great salvation he wrought out by his suffering and death and offers freely to you in this day of grace, how will ye escape the wrath of God? How will you escape the just wrath of God and the just punishment for your sins if you don't diligently seek to lay hold on Christ your Savior? If you do not make this your most pressing concern of all. True, you cannot simply create saving faith, and you cannot regenerate yourself, but you can take care not to neglect so great salvation offered freely by God. You can seek after that salvation. You can throw yourself on Christ. You can believe the gospel promise. You can take Christ at his word. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You most certainly can and ought to confess your sins to God and admit your just condemnation, asking God to save you. You can read and pray and rest and trust in Christ and show the reverence you ought to show the gospel and diligently seek to receive the free gift of salvation, the assurance of your sins forgiven, and your soul safe in Christ. You can make this the most important thing in your life, not the least important. You young people not in Christ, like all young people, say, well, I would like to be this someday. I'd like to do that. I have plans for this. I'd like to do this for my living, or I would like to do this with my life in this world, and so forth. You spend much time on that. Well, I'm not against you spending time on thinking about what you'll do in this life. I think that's a good thing. And then there's, of course, that aspect of many young people, just that they have this pleasure they want to do, or they think they're going to have this freedom, and they're looking forward to that they want to have, or whatever it might be. And there's talk about it, and so on and so forth. But how much time do you spend thinking of your eternal state? And of the so great salvation offered to you in Christ. Do you understand how offensive this is to the Lord? That this is relegated down to a footnote of your life? That you don't spend the time you ought to being concerned with your own soul and attending to this so great salvation? And how will you escape if you neglect so great salvation? How will you escape condemnation and the eternal wrath of God? You will not. Most assuredly, if you die in your sins, you will immediately enter into the everlasting torments of hell. As sure as I'm standing here, if you die in your sins, and yes, with regard to young people do die sometimes, but also today is the day of salvation. No matter how long you live, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is under no obligation to save you. Don't act like he is. Christ was under no obligation to suffer as he did and to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't act as if he is. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to just read John 3, 14 through 18. John 3, 14 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. Here we have it. In this great chapter, which includes Jesus speaking of also the necessity of the new birth. But as we look at this in 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And let's also read this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I hope and pray nobody here loves darkness more than light. But you see, if you neglect so great salvation, it must be that you do love darkness more than light. If you neglect the way of salvation brought to light in the gospel. But going back to this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, you've read the story many times, and you have had it explained to you what was going on there, and the Israelites' great sin, and how God brought these fiery serpents among them, and they were biting these, and they were dying. And then the Lord said unto Moses, that typical mediator, typical of Christ, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Numbers 21, 8 and 9. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, isn't that remarkable that some didn't look? And they died. It's incomprehensible that they would do this, not look, believe the promise of God, and live. But they didn't. How was the dying man, the dying woman, the dying young person, his body filled with the fiery, deadly venom of the serpent, physically healed and saved? What did he do? He looked. He looked upon the serpent of brass in faith. Faith in the promise of God, and he was saved. He was physically delivered from physical death, from that physical venom. Some died, some looked, and were saved. Did some Israelites look longer than others before they were saved? More than likely so. Some looked and looked and looked, but kept looking, and they were saved. Others looked, and they were saved immediately. The serpent's deadly sting is typical of the deadly sting of sin, which is death, eternal death, death of the body and soul eternally. Certainly the physical death of the body, and then, of course, the Christian's body will be raised up to new life, but the unbeliever, his body will be raised up to new and greater torments in hell. But the deadly sting of the serpent is typical of the deadly sting of sin, and the brass serpent and the healing prescribed by God is typical of Christ Jesus and Him crucified, and of course, spiritual, eternal deliverance from sin and condemnation and hell through faith in Him. Look. When he looketh upon it, he shall live. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that is, on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Believing on the crucified Savior. Look. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look and keep on looking. Don't neglect so great salvation, which can be yours, which will be yours, if you will look and believe and continue to look. Look. All through the Bible we see that, don't we? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look on him. Look up to the crucified Christ and keep looking and be saved. Stop neglecting so great salvation. Stop making it such a minor thing, if nothing at all. It should be the most important thing in your life. You lose that, you lose everything. Amen.